Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. And we return to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello to Andy Jeffers as he joins us to at this point in the program. Andy, of course, with Sports and Entertainment Media, and he is on his way to Kentucky as it's a full week of NASCAR events. You've got a truck race, the Xfinity race. You've got a pair of races this weekend in regards to NASCAR. Andy, how are you?
I am good, man, and I am actually in the infield here at Kentucky. I made it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a nice drive up 75.
Very much so, and of course you got a little extra injection from your stop at Mahalo Coffee, right?
It's always good to see Trevor Bain over there. He's such a great guy, and man, that coffee shop is awesome. Great coffee, and so I did. I got fueled, and I didn't get a speeding ticket this time, so I'm excited about that. That's a win.
Win-win is how you carve that up. But, Andy, great to see the news, and I know it had to be so different to see somebody other than Jimmy Johnson in the 48 car last week. Just tell us what it was like to see a positive test hit NASCAR among the ranks of the drivers.
You know, it was shocking, but I would say NASCAR and the drivers and everybody have done an amazing job. And the irony of that whole story with Jimmy is, out of all the drivers, he was probably the most critical, the most observant, aware of making sure he handled everything, his equipment, helmet, gloves, earpieces, Nomex, fire suit, shoes. He carried a bag. It looked like a little wagon he pulled down pit road. But he was so adamant about handling all his stuff. Disinfecting, they disinfect the cars, obviously, but he's just been so careful. And I think he made an announcement. It was his wife, she's positive, and that's how he got it. How do you avoid that? I don't know. But Jimmy, he's healthy. He's a fit freak. I mean, he loves to exercise, bike, run. So probably that helps. This the whole COVID thing, it just hits people so different. And, with Jimmy, that was shocking because he threw 633 races, I think, consecutive. He had the longest streak going. And, no driver wants to get out of their seat. Just doesn't happen. And a seven-time champion, he ain't getting out of his seat. But this was important. And obviously, he had to because of testing positive. So it was shocking. It was different. Justin Allgaier is a great driver. Great guy, and the poor luck he had on pit road, nothing you could do there. So not his fault, and it's just sad to see. But it was different, and, today news, he's back. Got two negative tests within 24 hours, and so it looks like Jimmy will be back.
Andy, do you think that Johnson will get a win this year? It's been a while. He's been in the longest drought of his career, but do you think he'll get a win this year?
I do. The Hendricks stable is running well. We've seen Chase. I mean, they came back, when we had the quarantine and we came back, the nine cars were fast. All those cars, the 88, the 24, all the Hendrick cars are running better. The new body on the Camaro has really helped the Chevrolet teams. So that has helped them. But they've also found speed. I do think Jimmy will find a place. Who knows? We got 10 races till the playoffs start. And in that, I think everybody, you're not supposed to pull for people, but I think everybody, a sentimental favorite is Jimmy. I do think they'll find victory lane. They just got to get some pieces together. They got to get some good luck on their side. That whole team over there, that's their goal. They got to get Jimmy in the playoffs. And, you want to go out a winner. You'd love to see what happened with Tony Stewart at Sonoma his final year. And what happened with Jeff Gordon at Martinsville his final year. You just want to see a champion go out with a win and fill that victory lane, for their last time.
Has it still been hard for drivers to adjust to no fans in the stands?
I think they've gotten used to it, but I do think they miss it. Looking at Indianapolis last week, that was just so weird. Seeing the canyon on the front stretch, which normally is just packed with fans, I'm sure they noticed that last week because you can hear them there because you are in a canyon. fans on the left and right of you. You know, it's just different. It's not what we want, because this sport, just like every sport, is driven by fans, and you need them, and that you feed off that excitement. And the drivers, I mean, even though you're in a loud race car, you can still, they feel the fans. They hear the fans. They miss them tremendously. You know, Harvick has mentioned it. It's just not the same. You get out to get the checkered flag, or you do your burnouts, you want people yelling at you. You want them either booing or cheering at you, and they're not there. And that it takes away a little bit, but, you know, hopefully we'll see next week. All-star races in Bristol on Wednesday night. And I just found out, I guess they're still having fans there. So that's awesome. And so you'll maybe get a little bit of that, because I think that's going to be pretty thrilling. Texas, I guess, is still selling tickets. This is weird, because Texas is a hot spot right now. So everything has been a little bit weird. They just announced the rest of the schedule. So everybody is kind of trying to get all their travel and everything done right now, too. So we've had to adjust. You know, Watkins Glen is canceled because we can't go to New York. So now Daytona will get a road course, and then we'll go to Dover, then come back to Daytona and run on the Super Speedway. So there's just all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And, you know, you miss the fans. You want them back. But, you know, right now the main thing is just everybody's safety, because you got to have that. At least we can watch it on TV.
Our guest, Andy Jeffers, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Andy with Sports and Entertainment Media, and does a great job. As if you like the in-car camera shots, that's what Andy does. And so you've got to take us back a little bit. What was it like, and how many miles did you wind up walking during the triple header that took place in Pocono?
Oh, that was a long weekend, but on Saturday ended up walking like 10 miles up and down pit road and in the garage, and then on Sunday for the trucks, Xfinity and Cup race, it ended up we all checked our phones and our wristband and our watches. It was 12.5 miles in one day, but you know, Pocono's a big track, so you're trekking a lot. You would never do that at Bristol.
Well, and what was it like to see that, and how much did you enjoy it? We've seen so many different things, as you've talked about with us previously, the midweek primetime racing, and that's going to be awesome that it'll be midweek and the All-Star race in Bristol. But what was it like to see a NASCAR doubleheader that was scheduled before all of the madness hit the schedule, but this was something they wanted to take a look at? What was it like from your perspective?
From a technical perspective with the in-car cameras, you know, it was, you know, the BSI guys, Broadcast Sports Incorporated, or International, excuse me, we're kind of used to that kind of stuff. So installing and everything was normal. I would say it's harder on the teams. Pocono is a pretty rough track. And with that, I mean, the vibrations and lap after lap, it puts wear and tear on the car. The teams were in the garage till 11 o'clock that night. And I think they turned around, they were back in it at 7 o'clock the next morning. And, you know, you got a lot of work on the car. So I think the toll is really on the team. You know, NASCAR has to approve if you can go to a backup car, but you have to use the same car. So we're going to witness that this weekend here at Kentucky, tomorrow night, the Xfinity race. And then they turn around, have to use the same car for Friday night, unless NASCAR deems you wreck or something on Thursday night and you have to go to a backup car. So we're going to see it again. It's I don't want to say a strain, but it requires a lot of work from the teams to, rewrap the car. You've got all kinds of stuff you're working underneath, shock, suspension, chassis, you know, stuff you could do with the engine that NASCAR allows you to do to clean out stuff. But, you know, it's a challenge, and we're going to have a couple more of those. I mean, just looking at the schedule, we're going to have a Cup doubleheader at Michigan. Then we're going to have a Cup doubleheader at Dover. and Dover's going to have an Xfinity doubleheader too. So I'm literally just looking at the schedule. And so it's going to be a tough road, and August is going to fly by. Hopefully we can get to the playoffs and the schedule kind of slows down to the way it originally was. We'll just see. But, I mean, this whole year, who knows? You just – don't put anything in writing, right, with the ink pen. Write everything in pencil this year, because it's just the way it's been.
one of the things that's been really cool, and I don't know if it's because that there's so much of the spotlight on just the drivers themselves with the fact that we haven't seen hardly any fans involved, but to see what winning at Indianapolis meant to Chase Briscoe, to see Kevin Harvick celebrate as much as he did his third win at the Brickyard because he was such a Rick Mears fan growing up, how cool is it to see that aspect of what is special to the drivers themselves as they get these wins at tracks that are so important to them?
You know, I will relate it to, you know, several listeners, obviously, you know, on the Tennessee side, and we'll go football. You know, look at, like, T. Martin. You know, he's from Alabama. And there was no other team that he wanted to beat more than Alabama and Auburn. And I think the same thing happens with NASCAR drivers. You know, Trevor Bayne, he wanted to win so bad at Bristol. There's just certain tracks that certain drivers you want to put that check mark next to in the win column. And I think that's the same thing with anybody from Indiana. You want to win at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, no matter if it's a road course or no matter if it's the oval. But that is one of the things that watching Chase Briscoe last week and then Kevin Harvick just being the Rick Mears fan, but seeing Stuart Haas, I mean, Tony Stewart, obviously, from Indiana, that was a huge win back in, you know, the early 2000s when Tony won there, hence them climbing the fence and everything like that. But it's remarkable. I think you see – even in that road course race with Chase, I mean, he got knocked out of the way, but he fought and he drove his butt off. I mean, he just was not going to be denied because he wanted to get, you know, victory in Indiana, and especially at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It means a ton to these drivers to win at their home racetrack or somewhere where they grew up. Even their crew chiefs, if their crew chiefs are from some area, the whole team, you're really motivated to want to win there. And or if it's just checking a track off. I think, like, you know, this week we still have a couple of drivers who, I think Kevin Harvick hasn't won at Kentucky. And I think that's something that, you know, he wants to check that off the list because you want to win at every scheduled race you go to. So it means a lot. But, you know, Chase Briscoe, he's on fire in the Xfinity Series. And that series is a lot of fun to watch. You got a lot of young drivers who, you know, they're going to push the edge, and those are going to put the car into certain situations that probably the Cup guys and a veteran wouldn't do. So it makes it a thrilling to watch. So, you know, that's tomorrow night, Thursday and Friday night on FS1, where, you know, Xfinity guys are going at it here at Kentucky. So should be a lot of fun.
Andy, regarding the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, would you consider their pit row dangerous or scary?
Both. So, you know, in regards to Zach Price, who was the crewman on Ryan Blaney's car, if anybody has seen the highlight, I mean, it's pretty gruesome. It's like a football injury. I mean, he got hit by a car, and you could see his leg. You knew he was hurt crawling away. Those guys are so athletic. And, I mean, that pit road is dangerous in the fact that it is the skinniest pit road that we go on, the most narrow. So from that standpoint, you're seeing a lot of things. You're seeing the teams, you're seeing the drivers, you're seeing people. When you go down, the pit road speedy there is 55 miles an hour. So even though everybody's like, oh, well, there's a pit road speed, imagine going to the interstate where it's 55 miles an hour, and the cars actually are going 60 because NASCAR gives them a 5-mile-an-hour limit, right? So 60 miles an hour, you're jumping out in front of cars, and that was just pretty much a chain reaction like we see on an interstate. And then it carried over into the pit box where pit crew was working. And, you know, if you notice the jackman, I mean, isn't how athletic those guys were. He completely jumped up on the top of the car with a jack in hand and stuff. Those guys are so athletic. And, you know, I enjoy that part of it because they do combines just like NFL does. They get NFL
really?
Players, former. Yeah, NHL, and, you know, if a guy can't make it to the NFL or NHL, they'll get former athletes, but they have a combine that they do. And those dudes are, I mean, they're legit. I mean, most of them would have played college football somewhere, hockey, some baseball players, but it's fascinating. It truly is. They got a whole regiment, a workout regiment, diet. I mean, every second counts on pit road, so you're going to go get the best athletes you can to you can teach them everything about the stock car part of it, You know, just like in football, you can't teach speed. So it matters. And those guys, unfortunately, you know, he did get hit. I think he's got a leg fracture. He's going to be out. They're hoping that they didn't have to do the surgery on Zach Price, but he will be back hopefully by the end of the playoffs, and Blaney will still be in contention so he can get back on pit road. But yeah, that pit road, I mean, you know, that track was built for open wheel cars.
Yeah.
You know, so there is a difference in I think we've had an incident there the last 3 years on pit road. So it does happen.
This might be hard to answer, but with all the races NASCAR's running and there's not a whole lot of sports going on now, do you think that NASCAR has gained a lot of fans, or do you think the TV ratings can be attributed to fans not going to the racetrack, therefore they're watching on TV?
A good question. I think there's a myriad of reasons why people are tuning in. I think the main thing is it is the only sport right now. You know, hopefully we can get other sports going. I'm hoping with nothing being shut down. But, you know, Jimmy, that's a great question, because I think that, you know, you're going to look. Tracks can hold 60 to 100,000 fans. And I think the ratings are, you know, vastly higher than that. So I do think it's because it's the only race in town, or only sport in town, I guess you want to say. I think there's a lot of it to be said, too, about Bubba Wallace. I think he has opened up a whole door to new fans that I would venture to say that, you know, have peeked in to see what is this racing about. And, you know, from you get into the politics of it or the political or social stuff. But I just think once people get into this, they watch and they're like, you know what? These guys are crazy going, you know, 180 to 200 miles an hour into a turn. This is something new for us. We're enjoying it. And, you know, I think everybody right now is looking for that, looking for a release. They're looking for a getaway. And you know, that's what sports is to me. Obviously, you're passionate about it and things are great. But it's also one of those things you think about. And I truly feel that, that, you know, if you can do that and get fans involved and get away from just all the chaos in the world right now, I think that helps. And I think maybe that could be a lot of it too. It's just like, you know, hey, I want 2-3 hours of my day to just enjoy something that's not bad news, sad news, and anything else. But I'd like to go see cars go fast. I want to see, you know, competition. You know, hey, America thrives on competition, and that's why we love sports. That's why we want sports back. And so I've got my fingers crossed for every sport to come back. And hopefully this is a big month for everybody. So just knock on wood and hope. But to answer your question, I think it's just that is the factor. It's something that's live, it's fresh, and hopefully, you know, Fox has NBC touch base with it, but hopefully it's just a release. And it gives, you know, just wanting to get away from some just maybe the daily chaos that's going on right now.
Andy, we really appreciate the time. Couldn't have you on without getting just a quick thought. As you've talked about, not only has 2020 been hard on so many fronts, but very much so on the music world, and lost a great composer in Ennio Morricone, who gave us The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, among many other works that would be instantly recognizable, but also a huge NASCAR fan, a huge Tennessee fan. Really tough to say goodbye to Charlie Daniels, isn't it?
That one was tough. I was actually had just landed Monday. I had just landed Monday in Charlotte, and I was driving to Knoxville, and I just that one came across because, I mean, we've seen him at Tennessee games. We've done some stuff with him on stage there. He's done a lot of interviews. I think, you know, he's done some shout-outs to Fulmer and John Ward and stuff, and just a diehard Tennessee fan. He's a huge NASCAR fan. You know, I grew up 8-track tape with my dad driving, and I remember him playing, you know, Woolly Swamp, and Devil Went Down to Georgia, and always one of my favorite ringtones that I have for a couple of friends is the Charlie Daniels Rocky Top version. But what an ambassador. You know, Daryl Waltrip was really good friends with him, and he had a nice comment to make about him. But anytime you were around that guy, he was just a tremendous just a good soul. I mean, faith was so important to him, as you could probably see on his social media, you know, and he wasn't afraid to stand up for what he believed in. And so that's a quality that, you know, I like, and I think that's what his fans love. But his music, how he played the fiddle, his legacy will truly be, remembered forever. And it is just sad. I mean, this whole year, some of the legends we've lost, it's just so sad.
Andy, thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the five races that you'll be a part of this weekend, and we can't wait to catch up with you in the future. But good luck with everything, smooth sailing, and we'll talk to you later.
Hey, John, Jimmy, thank you. And I got one question for you guys.
Yes.
Did Barry Rice make you guys cry at the end of Straight Ahead?
Well, yes.
I had to go to a dinner. And I watched that thing, and at the very end, I'm bawling. I am crying my eyes out. And I sent Barry a text, and I said a couple curt words. But I was like, what a great documentary. And I know you guys had him on last week, but, man, it made me cry.
Yeah, that I think there weren't many dry eyes that were left. But, hey, Andy, No. Thank you so much. Take care, all right? We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, you guys have a great one. Have a good weekend. See you guys.
Thanks,
you
Andy.
As well. Andy Jeffers joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.